Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I think it's a good thing. You know, I think NFL playoff football is the best thing we've got in American sports, and a little more of it can only make it better. You've got the concern about a mediocre team make it. You will some years, but that doesn't mean that team does not deserve a seat at the table if they can't play well in the postseason.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Dan Pompey. We talked to him yesterday, and he was talking about the idea of expanding the NFL playoffs, an idea that the owners are very fond of, and an idea that the players now will vote on.
They'll vote on, and there seems to be some momentum, according to the owners, toward a new CBA that includes a 17-game season, which I think will get some pushback from the players.
And we are delighted to welcome in Andrew Brandt. Andrew, of course, has been on the program before. He is a former agent, a former NFL executive, a man that has written about the game, a man that that has taught people. He's got all of it going for him, and we're delighted to welcome him into the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Doing well and happy to be with you at this this sort of point we're at where I never thought we'd be, actually. 13 months before expiration of the CBA, we seem to be on the precipice of a new one, and I just think so differently last time where we got to expiration, we got to a lockout, we got to decertification, we got to lawsuits, we got to a deal being struck on the eve of training camp where it was hastily arranged, players filing into camp not knowing what the rules are. So here we are 13 months before, and we seem on the verge of a CBA.
And why is that? I mean, usually that deadline is whenever you're talking about labor issues, that deadline becomes so important and everybody understands and they work right up to it because everyone wants to get their share of the pie, whatever. Have the owners been more reasonable than expected? Are the players more willing than expected? Why so early?
The owners really want this deal. And we can talk, you know, in terms of some of the details. I think it's a little bit deficient for the players. I think they should use this leverage better that they have. Why do the owners want a deal so bad? Well, they want continuity. They want to get into the networks and the broadcast media and digital media and sponsors and get a big deal from all of them. And the way they get that is they assure them that there's labor peace for 10 years, that they don't have to worry about any kind of work stoppage or lockout or strike. It's great for the owners, but what about the players? Are the players getting the deal they should with the leverage they have, the owners wanting it to happen so bad? And that's where I'm kind of shaking my head, scratching my head, like, are they getting enough? Because they do have leverage, and they do have 13 months before any deadline, and you just wonder. But it's the owners that want this deal right now because they want to enter into, contract negotiations with the media to get these massive deals ahead.
And it seems, Andrew, that the owners now have put the players in that spot where if they do turn it down or they do push back, they're perceived as maybe the bad guys. And is the biggest issue that they may object to, or the biggest issue at play here, the 17-game season? And specifically, what would they want to know that they don't know now?
Yeah, and I don't mean to make it too complicated. I mean, listen, this is a multi-issue negotiation. We're talking about 15, 20 items that you could break apart. But listen, you and I and everyone listening has heard union members, players, union executives say for years, no way, no how, we're going past 16 games. And this idea of health and safety being so important to the owners, and now they're saying we got to play more games, no way, no how. And here we are with a deal for 17 games. I'm not even talking about the extra playoffs. 17 games, which they said no way, no how. So the question is, are they getting enough for that? I don't think so. I mean, the key is always the money. The revenue split was basically 50-50 before the last CBA. Then it went to 53-47 in favor of the owners. Now they get to 48 by next year, 2021, and maybe 48-5 when 17 games go into effect. But then it stays for 10 years. I don't know. First of all, I don't know why they would do a 10-year deal. I know the owners why they want it. But the players, with the changing economics, you got to go shorter and see where we are after these TV deals. So that's another thing. And I just think there's some minimum team spending deficiencies in the deal that weren't addressed. You know, yeah, they're getting, again, less practice time, more acclimation at training camps, some pensions, but I think they could get more out of this deal, especially if it's going to be 10 years.
What do you make of the idea that a 17-game schedule is going to create the home and away issue? And does that mean there'll be more international games? Does it mean that that there will be an eventual move to an 18-game season? Obviously, not over the length of this contract, right?
You know, there are people in the NFL you talk to and they say, hey, we can implement more games. Our legal lawyers say we can do that without player consent, but they're smart enough to know they need player consent. But do I put it past them in 5 years to move to 18? No, I don't put it past them. And do I put it past certainly the next CBA to go to 18? Sure, there's a creep going on here, a creep slowly up to more games. But what does it mean in terms of scheduling? And first of all, it's not going to happen in 2020. It'll happen in 2021 at the earliest. And the scheduling would be probably international. So right now we have 4 games in London. That could go to 8 between 3 stadiums. Have a London schedule, not a London home team, but a London schedule. So 16 games, 16 teams a year. Every other year they go to London. And then, of course, we've got Mexico, we've got Toronto, we've got other opportunities. So that would be the natural inclination to have the 17th game be an international game. But, you know, again, we're at least a year from that.
How would you explain the players' view of the expanded playoffs? And is that something that there's more of an acceptance level, I guess, among most people? Or do you think there's some pushback there as well?
No, I think that's fine. I mean, I think the general media is latching onto that. To me, that's not a huge deal. You're adding one wild card game on Saturday and Sunday of wild card weekend. That's really the extent of it. And the second team doesn't get a bye. To me, you know, I don't know. To me, that's just not a big deal. You know, it's like, okay, another playoff team. And one more wild card game. You know, I think the general media, general public's like, oh, great, more football. So I don't think that's a big issue. I guess the real question for all of us is what's going to happen today. You know, you see some high-profile players like J.J. Watt and maybe Richard Sherman saying they're not going to vote for this. But I get the sense there's going to be a tremendous interest in getting this done by the union. I just get that sense. Mm. And the rank and file is going to look at these, you know, 100,000 increase in minimum salaries. It's like a contract negotiation to me where, you know, you throw a lot of money early in the deal at a player and he jumps. And that's what the NFL is doing. It's very strategic, like 100,000 increase in minimum salaries for a guy making 400 or 500. Like, yeah, let me jump on that because, you know, that'll get me another 100 this year instead of waiting until next year when the deal might be better. So the NFL is very strategic, and you've seen the social media and everyone saying it's a good deal. So they're very strategic in PR.
Why the movement from the Players Association? Doesn't Damaris Smith want to get as much as humanly possible? Is it have anything to do with taking care of some of the previous generations of players and wanting to get to that because, you know, there are some guys in crisis?
You know, there is something in the deal points about more benefits for retired players, but, you know, you bring up a good question in terms of why get this deal done. And again, I'm saying it for the third time in this interview, why 10 years? Yeah. Why? At least have an out. And these are, you know, baseball players, they all have these. NBA, where it may be a 10-year deal, but there's an opt-out after 3, after 4, after 5. So I don't get that. You know, I want to be careful about what I say to Damaris Smith. You know, I was asked about pursuing that position at one point a few years ago. I decided not to. I just think that, you know, there seems to be a push to get this done now. I'm not sure why. The leverage to me would increase towards next March. Maybe they think the NFL would pull this deal and never bring it back. I think that would be an empty threat.
It's wild. Andrew, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. That's Andrew Brandt. He, of course, was a running the Packers at one point and knows the league inside and out. And
he asked some really good questions. Most of our attention has been focused on the expansion of the playoffs.
Yes.
And I think that's not unintentional. The league is very savvy, and the league has now put the pressure on the Players Association because if they do push back, they will be viewed as the villains in this. And there's always going to be a bad guy in any sort of public negotiation. And so this was a proactive move by the league that knows what it's doing.
I mean,
spin.
It would be amazing if they get this done this far out, just based on previous experience with this.
Usually deadlines spur action.
Yeah.
And the deadline is far, far away. So you wonder, why is there a spur to action now? And I don't know why.
They want the extra playoff game starting quick. That's why.
They want the increase in revenue immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the best answer.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm not a football expert.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That's Roger Goodell. He's the commissioner of the NFL, and Kevin likes to take gratuitous shots and pulls different comments out of thin air to make him look bad.
I'm not a football expert.
Well, I guess we aren't either, or I'm not, but I think you can look at this, and it's interesting to see, just again, if not being an expert, but this CBA proposal, it appears that everybody got excited publicly and in the media as well, as Andrew Brandt pointed out, about the addition of a playoff team in either conference. That's part of the CBA. And I think that was a great way to distract maybe people from everything else about this. And maybe the discussion over adding an extra game, make it in a 17-game season, and some of the things that some players were finding out as they're, you know, looking deeper into this, that they're pushing back against. And there seems to be this rush from the owner's side to get this deal done, even though the deadline doesn't exist. And it's because maybe the extra revenue, the extra playoff revenue, all these things are in play for them. And I guess Andrew Brandt and others have pointed out, well, why? What's the hurry? Slow down. And J.J. Watt went so far as to tweet out, it's a hard no. And so I wonder where this is headed. I don't know, because there's been, you know, there's been other people like Ross Tucker, well-respected guy on Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, who tweeted out that this deal is better than the one that they signed last time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that's wrong, but again, it's just I think that talking to Andrew, it just does make you wonder. I mean, usually if it just depends on how quickly you want to get to it, and usually the labor issues are, they're determined by deadlines, and the idea that you're getting to it as quickly as you can is fascinating to me. I prefer to see it that way, because I would prefer to have no work stoppage and no strike talk. And, you know, it's a terrible story to cover, as we've both had to do in various sports over the years. It's just a tiresome,
it's no
type
fun
of thing.
Yeah,
no, there's no joy,
no fun
in it. I hope they get it done.
I do too. Everyone,
you know,
does. I think when you look at some of the realities, and you know, this is just one small issue, but like the minimum salary increasing $100,000 for veterans. Now, that's a lot of money. And now, that's not a lot of money to J.J. Watt. That's not a lot of money to Richard Sherman. That's not a lot of money to some of the players who might be out in front of this speaking loudly and controlling social media and the narrative there. But if you're a backup offensive lineman and you give a minimum increase in your salary to $100,000 per year, do you want those guys speaking on your behalf? Because there's the haves and the have-nots. And you wonder if this CBA is maybe not such a bad thing for those kind of players, the rank and file, if you will. I don't know, but I think that's something that Andrew brought up, and you do wonder, because the loudest voices will be the ones that we recognize of guys whose names are star names.
We have a couple of texters checking in that want to know why we haven't talked about Casey Urlacher yet. I guess it's a football-related story, because Casey is related to a Hall of Fame football player. What I find fascinating about this story, David, is the way that it's been covered by both papers this morning. You've got the Chicago Tribune, and you've got a on the right hand side of the paper, on the bottom of the fold, it's the headline is Bears Icon's Kin Charged in Illegal Gambling.
He's facing jail time potentially.
And on the other paper, the Chicago Sun-Times, the lead of the paper, the front page of the paper, is Casey at the Bet, and it's Brian Urlacher's brother, one of 10 charged in federal gambling indictment. And Casey Urlacher has indeed been charged in a federal indictment regarding gambling. And it's, you know, I mean, it's an awful story, and you hope that I don't think anybody's avoiding it.
I mean, nobody's, but we're not trying to talk around it. There's been other things we've been talking about.
But there's one fact to it that jumps out to me. One of the guys indicted with him is a nickname of Sweaters.
It's an unusual nickname. There's another
Sweaters.
Uncle Mick was
Uncle
the other
Mick
one.
Uncle Mick is the main dude, and they raided his house, and they found like $1 million in cash and a bunch of gold coins, silver bars, and jewelry for another.
It sounds pretty elaborate. It is one of 10 people. Federal indictment came down yesterday. The news broke in the afternoon, and the investigation's been going on for a long time.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because you never like to see this kind of thing happen. It's unseemly. It involves, you know, offshore accounts and debts and gambling and things that you just don't want to be involved in. You don't want to be one step away from. But both papers are consistent in the first time that they refer to Casey Urlacher. It is as Brian Urlacher's brother. And that's why he's on the front page of both papers today.
That's right. Yeah.
Hall of Famer. And this isn't the way that you want to see your name in the papers. And this isn't something you want to see to happen to your family. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, Casey's a guy who went to Lake Forest College.
Yep.
He's a mayor up there.
Mayor of Mettawa. Population 547?
Something like that. Very small.
Very small.
He
sits on some boards.
Yeah, he's visible. I mean, you know, it's not hard to find Casey Urlacher in this area. And so he's had probably more visibility around here. Brian Urlacher's settled out in Arizona, so he is out there. You wonder where this is headed. And it just, you read the indictment because it's out there for everyone to see.
Sweaters.
And Uncle Mick. Doesn't sound good.
Sounds like the most low budget, like gangster film knockoff.
Yeah, right. My buddy sent me a text, you know, Goodfellas or Dumbfellas? Which one would you prefer for the movie version? I don't know. We'll see it moving forward. But to answer your text, it is in the paper today if you want to read about it.
Well, it's on the front page of Sun-Times because they came up with a pretty clever headline, don't
you? Casey at the Bet?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd rather not talk about the front page of the paper and some of the things that they came up with for Brian when he was going through different issues that got him mad at some of us for life, I think. So Papa Bear seemed to really upset the Bears themselves, too, when they ran that one. Holy cow. I'll never forget the paper that morning and seeing it, knowing that I was going to be going into the locker room later that day, and it would not be pretty.
No.
Sometimes how it goes? You get a good headline, so that's
We don't write the headline, and you don't pick the art, and you don't pick the placement in the paper.
But that's the way it works sometimes.
But usually, Kevin, they'll call you and tell you if there's going to be the story like that coming down, so you don't just walk into it. But it's not all the time.
Also, a Chicago policeman indicted.
Yeah, that's
that
bizarre,
well.
Huh?
Yeah.
One of the 10.
Let me ask something. If gambling is now legal, right? Sports gambling is now going to be legal and everybody's going to be able to do it. I beg your pardon?
When?
Yes.
March Madness.
Yes. That's what everyone's shooting for. Does that mean this sort of thing won't happen?
I don't. Apparently, they used a platform that they shouldn't have to do this online. I mean,
UncleMixSporting.com or something. UncleMixSports.com.
Sounds legit to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
I also have $1.3 million of cash in my house. So if anyone is wondering, that's
Irabu minus $1.80.
Play ball! Vince Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. How are you today? Another weekend starting up, and baseball begins for Cactus League Real tomorrow with the Cubs and the White Sox both beginning their schedule. Where would you guys like to begin today?
Let's start with the Sox. They had a situation yesterday. Ricky Renteria, he said he's not going to bunt as much as he did last year. But more importantly, Bruce, he talked about who was going to be doing the hitting at the top of the order. Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, 1-2, 2-1, however you want to order them. What do you think of those two guys at the top, and who do you think he's leaning toward?
Well, they have speed. Both of them have speed. Both of them, they were 1-3 in the American League in hitting, okay? So you know they're going to hit. They're two of the top hitters in the American League. I like that idea. I like the idea that they can create some havoc right away and that they can score anywhere on the bases when they get on. The question is, and David, you asked me who should lead off. I'll get around to that. Between the two of them, in 1,000 plate appearances, they had 55 walks. Okay, 55 walks in 1,000 plate appearances. That means all of their on-base percentage is coming from being a very good hitter, and that they are. Now, will they walk more? One of them played 123 games. The other played 132. Both of them had injuries that kept them out for almost a month, in Anderson's case, a little more. So is this the right framework for the top of the order, knowing that you're going to get hitting, you're going to get speed, but they don't bunt and they don't walk? From my perspective, probably Anderson leading off because he steals more bases. Moncada told me a couple days ago that he plans on stealing more. That's one of his goals this year, is to get on and steal more bases. Some of it will be the product of the rest of the lineup, and whether you want them to steal or not with your big boppers coming up. So a lot of moving parts there, but if you're asking me, guys, I think Anderson 1, Moncada 2.
You know, I don't think I like that at all, just because of his penchant to not walk, but that's interesting. And I don't
Neither
know.
One walk. Yeah. You know? I mean, you had 15 from Anderson.
Yeah.
And you had 40. Yeah. Only 40,
right?
You know, in almost 600, well, you know, 520 plate appearances for Moncada. So, you know, which way do you want to roll it? Now, the on-base percentage for Anderson was, you know, 360, and it was higher for Moncada because they hit so much. I mean, so do you really care where your on-base percentage comes from in these situations, knowing they're still going to be on base quite a bit?
Do you think Anthony Rizzo yesterday was sincere when he talked about how excited he was that he and Chris Bryant would be 1-2? Or is this a guy who, as we have heard from him in the past, Bruce, he, you know, put him fourth, play him at first base. That's kind of what he wants every day, and yet he won't be doing that this year.
No, I mean, he talked about how both him and Chris have always been together in the batting order, okay, ever since 2015, and how that's worked so well for both of them. You know, that Chris is protected by Rizzo, and that Rizzo usually has, you know, somebody on base ahead of him to drive in. So that the function of that, I think, pleases Rizzo. Now, David, you might have hit on something going forward, and that is, if you're batting two, depending on, you know, how they use the eight spot and if the pitcher's there for David Ross, the RBIs might be down for Rizzo. And going into a walk year after 2021, is that impactful from that old important statistic that he doesn't drive in runs? Are we going to hear the same thing about him that we heard about Bryant in the number two spot that, gee, he doesn't drive in the conventional runs, the RBI number anymore. So I think that's an interesting aspect going forward.
When we look at this team, and I think when we look at both sides of town, as much as we want to talk about the lineup, it's going to come down to pitching, right? It always comes down to pitching. What is your take on the biggest question from either side of town here with the starting rotation? From both sides. I mean, who, if you had to single out one guy, who would it be at this point from each side of town?
It would be John Lester for me with the Chicago Cubs, because of the fact that he's been the go-to guy, even in down years. Last year was probably his worst year with the Cubs. He still won 13 ball games. He's been, the catalyst for that pitching staff ever since he walked in there in spring training in 2015. So I think that's the guy, because if his performance is down or he's showing that he's done, then you're counting on Alzolay, you're counting on Alec Mills, you're counting on guys that are not ready in that organization to step up and be a part of a championship caliber rotation. So from all of that, I still think it's John Lester. Now, conventionally, you'll say right now Tyler Chatwood's got to be the number five pitcher, and he's got to show that he can come back to form of the guy that they signed for 3 years and $39 million 3 years ago. That is also true. And then you want to watch the progress of Adbert Alzolay, because he's their top young pitcher that's ready and has performed just a little bit in the major leagues. Coming into camp with a new body, literally, losing 20 pounds, gaining some muscle, this guy looks like a different guy. We'll see if it translates when he's on the mound.
Bruce, I don't know if you heard, but Dustin is now the story editor at the Sun-Times, and this morning they addressed something he's been talking about all week about Dallas Keuchel fitting in with the White Sox. And the back page says, Astros physics, Sox still have a problem with Houston and its cheating scandal, but spare Keuchel their wrath. Your observations, you've been out there. How is Dallas Keuchel fitting in with his new teammates? I know we may have addressed this earlier in the week, but when it gets this much attention, is there something to it?
I think he's going to be nothing but a plus there. I was talking to Lucas Giolito about him and Gonzalez yesterday, and he said, this guy's just a wealth of information and a wealth of experience, and he just takes so much pressure off of us. Not only that, he said, we've already found him really good to talk to and somebody that's really helpful. So I think he's going to fit right in. Now, if you're talking about the Astros thing and all that being a distraction for them, I just don't know. I mean, I can't tell you that until we go into that season and we see exactly how these guys perform and if they're distracted by this thing that continues to be one of the biggest stories in baseball over the last 50 years.
Do you expect anything to happen? Do you expect anything to change once the Red Sox issue comes down? Is there any possibility the commissioner reconsiders his position, or has that already been done in unison with the owners?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike, you bring that up, because when Manfred talked here in Arizona the other day, he also talked about the fact that he will consider all these cases on a case-by-case basis, that it won't be the exact same situation here. And I think the union and Major League Baseball have to get together and have a situation where they can punish these guys when it's fitting. Now, Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, said, our job is not to punish the players that we work for. So you have two opposite views going forward with the commissioner and with Tony Clark.
Bruce, tomorrow Alec Mills becomes the first Cubs pitcher to throw a pitch on the Marquee Sports Network. He'll be the answer to a trivia question one day. Then this weekend we'll also see Tyler Chatwood and Alzolay throw. Those three guys, the Cubs' fifth starter spot has been sort of awarded to, at least in pencil, to Tyler Chatwood. Is there anything that Mills or Alzolay can do this spring to supplant him? Do you think that's something the Cubs, are entertaining, or is this definitely going to be Chatwood and then find a role for those two other guys?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because you're locked into 13 pitchers now. You can't have more on your roster at any time, okay? So you have your five starters. You have your eight relievers. Can you afford a long man on the team? You know, could Alzolay and Mills be that swing man that you've had in the past? Or because you need somebody that always throws at least one inning now, do you need to have concentrated guys for those roles? So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes down from that perspective because of the fact that you don't have the flexibility to carry that ninth reliever that you did in the past for a short period of time if you're having a situation where one of your starting pitchers needs a little time off or he can't really throw, you know, more than five for a short period of time. So that's going to be quite fascinating to watch going forward there. But I think all things being equal, I think they'd love to have Alzolay be a swingman and a guy that builds his innings up in the bullpen and is available there to extend out if they need the sixth starter or somebody to step in that fifth role.
What are we looking for from the first day of the Marquee Network? What are we expecting, Bruce, and what is it that Cub fans should be examining?
Maybe the 1971 All-Star Game, you know, because it's supposed to rain here, you know, so we don't know if the game's going to be, you know, isn't that what we always watched on WGN?
Yeah,
if there
back
was
in the day, sure.
Rain delay, that was 71 series. Here's Reggie Jackson. But in reality,
good memory, Bruce.
They're not doing a pregame. They're not doing a post for spring training. So as far as the the camera work, I think that's where you might see a difference in production initially for the Marquee Network. I know they've talked about that they want to use more cameras, different angles, bring you a little bit much more up close and personal going forward.
All righty, pal. Thank you a ton.
Thanks, Bruce. Have a good weekend.
Guys, have a great weekend.
That is, of course, Bruce Levine. He is the Scores baseball expert.
And he just rolled out that 71 All-Star game like he was just watched it last night with Reggie Jackson there for the Oakland A's and Roberto Clemente. Yeah, that was a classic.
We haven't heard Ozzie Guillen yet on the Astro scandal and the fallout from it and if there will be one and the Sox and where they're at. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.